Lynch
on Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the action from around the Rebel County, as well as further afield. And keeping with the Cork connection, Ireland played a Women's Rugby World Cup game against Scotland right here in Virgin Media Park earlier today. And to talk to me about it was our very own Sarah McKenzie Foley. Right, Ireland beat Scotland 27 points to 21 in their Women's World Cup warm-up game right here in Virgin Media Park in Cork. Now, for us at the game was our very own Sarah McKenzie Foley. Sarah, what did you make of proceedings there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Scott Beamond and his coaching staff probably couldn't have asked for much more in terms of a stress test before the World Cup. You could definitely tell that there was... You know, there were kinks to work out. They went down 14-0 within the first 20 minutes and certainly looked sort of overwhelmed a bit at sixes and sevens. There was a lot of handling errors, things like that. But as he said to us after the game, you could really tell that it was Ireland's first warm-up game of two, whereas Scotland had already played one. They were certainly more in the flow, got straight down to it. And I think it took Ireland definitely that 20 minutes at least to get into the swing of the game. And to be fair, it remained very close for the rest of the game, but they really showed an awful lot of patience and really looked like they had gelled a lot as a group. And I think the mix of new players coming in, bringing energy, and also the super experienced players that have kind of seen this type of experience before, it seemed to be working really well out there by the end, which hopefully will give them, you know, a lot of positivity going forward into what's obviously going to be a massive couple of months for them at the World Cup.
Look, it was off to a slow start, at least from a scoring point of view, and with Scotland getting two tries before we scored one. What was the turning point there, do you think?
It was interesting. It was literally, as you said, a turning point, but a very kind of stark one. There was a pretty serious injury to a Scottish player, which stopped play for a bit of time. And we unfortunately don't know exactly what that injury was, but she was stretchered off. And it seemed like Scotland sort of were a little bit on the downslope after that, whereas Ireland, they were warming up, doing drills while the player was being treated, and it was almost like a reset for them, and they really came back into it, scored, you know, right before half time as well, which, as we know, is a big momentum shifter. And it felt like they just came back out in the second half and they just seemed so much more confident. And I think that was a big part of it. As I say, there was a couple of players that it was their first cap today, so, you know, there is a good deal of youth in the squad, and I think that it just took them a bit of time to get into the game. But certainly in the second half, there was a lot fewer errors, and they seemed to, you know, they did go behind again at one point, but they seemed to be able to just have that patience and that work ethic to get themselves back in front, which obviously they did then by full time.
Who were the key players who stood up for you looking forward to the World Cup now as well in particular?
Yeah, I think Nancy McGilvery in the centres was fantastic. She scored a try on her debut, spoke to her afterwards, and she's just so excited to be part of the squad even. She was really, I think she's going to be a bright light certainly going forward. Grace Moore got player of the match, and she made some incredibly hard yards. She was just absolutely a workhorse for that entire game, even after she took a knocker to the head early on and went off as a blood substitution and came back on and just was bulldozing all over the pitch. It was really, really impressive from her. And I think just in general, the unity of the squad was the other thing that really stood out. And I asked Scott Beamon about that after the game, and he said that he really thought that that was kind of what had brought them through. Really good to see Sam Monaghan get some time under her belt as well. She was captain today and kind of getting back into the swing of things. And it was really good to see her get a lovely reception as well coming off. I think that will have, again, given her a lot of confidence to keep going forward.
Well, brilliant stuff. Just using you as a rugby journalist in general, did you get a chance to watch the Lions game today?
I watched it until the sort of bizarre lightning strike pause, and then I had to leave for this game. So I didn't see the rest of the second half, but from what I'm told, I sort of dodged a bullet there, unfortunately, for the Lions. I think to be fair to Australia, they were very, very fired up for this game. I think they would have really, really been hurting after that, how close the loss was last time out. And you can understand that. I think they really had no other choice but to come out all guns blazing today. Unfortunately, the Lions weren't able to deal with it, you know, even after that long pause. I think it's really difficult to know whether or not that helps or hinders a team that's behind. You know, the players look very relaxed, just chilling on beanbags, eating jellies during that break. But, you know, obviously it kind of didn't work in their favour in the end. And I think Australia, to be fair, they seemed like they deserved it. I think Will Skelton was, again, a huge difference maker. I think a lot of Australians will be quite frustrated that he didn't play in the first test, because I think they're a different team when he's playing. And I know in a 15-player game, that sounds maybe a bit outrageous, but they truly are. He just brings a level of, I think, aggression, really. You know, there were some incidents in that game, even what I did see, that were kind of borderline. The ref let them go, but he was really, really aggressive out there today. And I think had he been in that first test, then maybe it could have been a closer series. But certainly it seems like Australia were deserved winners today in that third test.
As a rugby fan yourself now, not just a casual like me, what's your opinion on the Lions tour?
I think it's been a mixed bag. I think the level of opposition that they faced in the warm-up games was obviously not what they would be accustomed to, say, in a South Africa or a New Zealand tour. Australian rugby just isn't in a particularly good place at the moment and hasn't been for a couple of years. And, you know, Joe Schmidt now is transitioning out of his role, and it just, I don't know whether they were sort of battle-hardened enough. And then I think the Australia that showed up in the first test possibly flattered the Lions. You know, I think that second test was probably the closest that we got to a full view of a fair kind of level playing field, let's say. But I think it's really difficult to tell when they're not playing opposition that's of the kind of the caliber that they would be used to.
Would you be in favour of going to France with it?
I find that proposition a bit odd. I think a Lions tour in the Northern Hemisphere feels strange to me. I think maybe touring to Argentina, which hasn't been done for a long time, was done many years ago. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think it's maybe a bit premature to look at kind of kicking Australia out entirely. Like, we only go there every 12 years. I think they could be a completely different outfit in 12 years' time. But at the same time, as we know, rugby is very slow to change, you know, move away from tradition. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if nothing changed. Equally, I do think Argentina could be an interesting prospect. But again, what level of club opposition are they going to face there? It's really difficult to say. I think at the moment, the way things are in world rugby, South Africa and New Zealand seem to be, you know, the touring locations that really offer the most sort of bang for your buck in terms of competition on a Lions tour, based on kind of what we've seen from this tour to Australia.
Lastly, what are your expectations from Munster? I know it's far too early to probably tell this coming season with Clayton McMillan as head coach.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how he gets on. I think, you know, there's obviously key members of the backroom staff have been kept on in addition to bring him in as a new head coach. I think the gelling of that group is going to be really, really important. And I also think, you know, we do have some interesting new signings come in, some players that are moving up from the academy to being in the senior squad full time. What I worry about is, with the last two seasons in particular, Munster's performance levels have been so unpredictable. They've gone from really high level performances in the Champions Cup to really poor performances. And it's sort of baffling, really, to see how, you know, the same group of players can turn out such varying performances week in, week out. And that's my concern, is that's become a trend in the last 2 years. And I really hope that they don't have a slow start to the season, because I think that they sometimes fall into that trap of it's just taking us time to get going. I think if they come out of the traps really strong, the momentum that would potentially give them could be much more positive to carry them through the season. But I do worry that, you know, with so many changes, that slow start could potentially happen again. Hopefully I'm wrong, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, Sarah McKenzie Foley, I better let you go. You need to get home and get yourself sorted. But thanks so much for speaking to us here. And I'm sure you'll be on the show soon anyway again.
Absolutely, Dan. Always happy to chat rugby.
Well, as mentioned in the piece, Sarah caught up with head coach Scott Beaman after the game.
And how are you feeling after that today, Scott?
Delighted to have come out of pre-season and got a test match under our belt. Probably looked like that in the first 20 minutes where they had a game last week. I'm going to say they looked probably a little bit more battle-hardened. And you can tell that the intensity of how they finished collisions, whether carrying the ball or defending. So we've done the pre-season tick. We've now got a game under our belt. There's clearly moments within that game we're delighted with. There's clearly bits that we can go after. You know, namely the start. The captain's just called that in the circle. So to go 14 points down, I was delighted that the girls didn't panic and just understood, actually, who are we? What do we want to get on the pitch? Went to a process and were able to come through it. So it's a little bit of performance momentum for us.
Yeah, what created that shift? Because it was amazing. It was almost like from one moment to the next, they just had a completely new mindset.
I think suddenly you get punched in the nose, don't you? And you realise you're in a test match, and all the training and you're always going against ourselves. But to go against a different shirt always brings a different ferocity to it. I think Scotland were good for their first try. I think we'll have a close look at the second try. I think Grace Ball's being held clearly out of the game, but there was no support that came on to call that. That could have been a piece that deviates attention and we start to look in the league, but we didn't. We kept our composure, we understood where we want to be in the pitch, we understood we just need to get a bit of momentum, and then suddenly when we find it and we start creating momentum with ball in hand, even though it was still in our half, it gave us a chance to get on the back of it. Suddenly then the kicking game starts working, you're then forcing the opposition into errors and poor kicks back, and then you're into a 22. So I was delighted with how we finished the first half. It somewhat changed the halftime conversation. I don't think we'd have been panicked if we hadn't got both scores, but it was lovely to see us get a score and actually go, that's how we do it, and we got back and we backed it up immediately. So going into the second half, though, we spent plenty of time on the opposition line, didn't we? And I think we could have created more scores there, so we'll go and look at that. That's a relatively simple fix.
And some new faces on the pitch today, a couple of new caps. How happy were you with those kind of new combinations and everyone on the pitch?
Delighted. Not just for them. We've had a bit of time together. We've had 7 weeks, and we've known what these new girls can do. If we look past this World Cup to the next one, Australia 2029, we've got probably three back rowers, three groups of back rowers, and the competition is going to be immense. Ivana, Ailish coming in, getting their chances today. They're going to be big hitters for not just this World Cup, but the one after. Nancy getting a try on debut, that's going to create more competition. We know the quality and calibre that Aoife Dalton has in that 13 shirt. Nancy coming back and starting to hit her straps as she went through the game there. So delighted, not just for them, but it's a really important piece for us in growing our capability. We're developing some depth, eh?
Sam mentioned connection and unity in her captain's message before the game. Obviously a lot of that and a lot of patience was required to come through that difficult period. How pleased were you to see the girls gel together and manage that well?
Do you know what, you can't beat a bit of adversity for developing on-pitch connection. Either going points down and coming through it, or spending time on a try line and you're not getting it all easy on your terms. Like, you have to find your way through test matches sometimes. And I think as we develop a leadership group, so leaders leading, followers being tight and understanding their role in the system. So I think we're after performance momentum, off pitch and on pitch connection is a big part of that. I think we've achieved that today.
Was it almost a bonus that the conversion didn't go over at the end to give you another 2 minutes? Not at the time, but you know what I mean? The fact that you had it come through it and you did come through.
Absolutely not. I think we've left a few kicks out there, but look, it puts yourself in a scenario where you've got to close out a game.
Which you did very well.
Again, that's another outstanding layer to us that we can call again. Once we've experienced it on pitch, it sets us up for the next time that we have to do that.
Can I ask ask you on the kicking. We saw one box kick kind of in that first half. I remember in the Six Nations you spoke about how that was something you were going to try and develop in the women's game in Ireland. Is that something we're likely to see more of in this World Cup?
There's a couple of different kicks I think you've seen there today. So turnover, transition, kick from Molly, finds turf, finds space, and it's a really good kick. You've seen us go long. You've seen us go to the competition game. I think we're pretty unlucky to not get more change at the compete game, where it touched a hand, and unfortunately it gives them a scrum. We had Bay catch one, and you think Bay in broken field is always going to be an exciting prospect. And Enya's put a high one up that actually they've caught, but the kick was great. So we know we need a bit of variety. It's going to be things that hopefully you're going to see more of. Hopefully we start to get a few more actions for it.
That was Irish women's head coach Scott Beaman there speaking to the media after Ireland's win over Scotland here in Virgin Media Park. Sticking with the rugby, the Lions lost out to a tough Australia side earlier today, but still ultimately winning the series 2-1. We have a few people speaking here. Andy Farrell, Finn Russell, Tyke Byrne, Owen Farrell, Harry Wilson, Joe Schmidt and Ollie Chesham. They react to the Lions 2-1 win in the series.
Well, Andy, I know not the fairy tale ending that you wanted, but still a Lions series win. Tell us, how are you feeling? What did you make of it all?
I can't wait to get into the changing rooms and just say what I need to say to the group, because although we're disappointed, we should be unbelievably proud of what we've achieved. Lions tours are tough, and to do what we've done last week and put the series in the bag. Upon reflection after tonight, I'm sure we'll be super proud of the achievements.
Can you sum up the emotions? Because I know there is a lot of disappointment speaking to Finn and Dan. But, you know, you still got the job done and it's been one hell of a tour.
Yeah, and how we got the job done in that type of theatre was something that'll live with us forever. So we've got to be immensely proud of that, because it's tough. As we know, the game's coming thick and fast, and everything that's thrown at you. These lads have been an absolute dream to work with.
I don't know where to begin with asking you about this match, because it had it all. I mean, a lightning break, who could have predicted that? But can you begin to sum up that 80 minutes?
Well, I mean, the obvious things to say is congratulations to Australia, because they thoroughly deserve to win. They played the conditions better than us, and, you know, we overplayed at times and give them that score that just took them into a lead that was hard to call back in these type of conditions, and I thought the set piece was pretty good tonight as well, so congratulations to them.
Just chat to us a little bit about this group. We've spoken, you know, over the course of the tour about how tight everyone is, what a special group it is, but how much have you enjoyed being in charge of this lot?
It's been the time of our lives. We've been saying it all the time, and I know it seems a bit dramatic, but it's the truth. How these boys have come together, and it's because of nothing but the group, you know, the whole group. The staff have been outstanding, so selfless, given to the team. So therefore, you know, what should be an absolute logistical nightmare has been pretty smooth, and you know, that's all because of the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. The coaching staff have been immense, no egos whatsoever. And we got to create a special memory together. So I'm unbelievably proud to be associated with this group.
I know you'll say it's not about you, but I wonder, where does this rank for you in terms of what you've achieved in your career?
I suppose, you know, when you decompress, it probably takes a week or two for that to happen. But I suppose we'll get there eventually, and then we'll reminisce on that then.
But it's time off. I know Oasis are waiting for you back in Dublin.
It sure is. It sure is. Can't wait to get back home and, spend some time with the family, etc. Obviously, this has been a long time in the planning, but the best 8 weeks of our life also.
Fancy another crack at it in New Zealand?
Let's look. I've loved absolutely every single minute of it, but that's a long time off, isn't it?
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Cheers, now. Thanks.
You're getting me in trouble, Alex. He's saying, what's going on? We're ready, we're live. Man of the series. I'm guessing there are no mixed emotions. It's sheer joy for winning a series and having a rather special medal around your neck.
Yeah, of course, the medal special. You know, the win was special. We got to celebrate that last week. And you kind of have to try ignore the fact we lost today, which is hard because, you know, the goal was to win today. And credit to Australia, they came out and, you know, they took it to us in the weather. And unfortunately, we weren't able to come away with the win. But we still won the series, and that's all that matters.
Just one more question on tonight before we focus on the whole series. It just looked as though the energy wasn't quite there. Just put it into words how difficult it is to get up when you've already won a series.
I wouldn't have said that. I thought, you know, some of our defensive sets were excellent out there, and it was just probably the penalties just creeping offside once or twice, and we just kept giving them more opportunities. But, like, the amount of times we put them back when they just kept coming at us, I thought some of the defence set was brilliant. So I don't think the energy wasn't there. It was just errors. It was accuracy and our discipline that let us down today. And on another day, you know, we wouldn't have done that and we would have won. But credit to Australia.
Let's go back to the joy of winning a series and these special men you've played alongside. Just talk about some of them there having some fun. Schumann's doing a dance and he's a poet. Take us into the changing room.
Look, there's some special characters. Shuey's he's been so funny from day one. You know, it's so funny when you start to get to know people, the different quirks that everyone has, and you know, we've loved every minute of this. Everyone's got on unbelievably well, and it's kind of a bittersweet one because we'll celebrate tonight, but that'll be it. We'll never be in a change room again together, and you know, we'll only look back at this with fond memories until we have a reunion probably in 12 years' time here and get together.
You're a great player and a great line. Congratulations. Cheers, boss.
Some fabulous scenes, as you can see, with some brilliant celebrations for the Lions fans. The trophy going high into the night, and I should think it won't be the first or the last time that is hoisted high. Not sure it's the best drinking vessel, that trophy, but it certainly means a lot to those who've won it, and I should think the beers will be opened in the not-too-distant future. Well done to those players in red tonight. Warren, Rory and John are alongside. Put a bit of context on that for us. It's a funny old feeling, but ultimately, the Lions are series winners here in Sydney.
Yeah, they'll be disappointed for a couple of hours, and then they'll reflect. I was talking to Dandy Farrell, just saying, you know, well done, and he said, you know, how hard it is to win a Lions series, and I just said, you know, from the coaches, the staff, how hard they work, people don't realise, and you're playing away from home, trying to bring a team together in such a short period, and you're normally playing against one of the best teams in the world, so, and like I said, travelling all that distance and the expectation to try and win a series in the Southern Hemisphere. So they've done that, and I said they'll be disappointed with tonight's result and performance, but you can't take away from a winning series, so put that disappointment behind, celebrate and start thinking about the next 4 years.
We'll put this tour into some broader context throughout the course of the build-down, but just take us into tonight. It never quite fired for the Lions. Can you put your finger on why that is? Is that a tactical thing? Is that an emotional thing at the end of an extraordinarily long tour and season? Why did they not manage to perhaps fire the shots they wanted this evening?
I think it's probably a combination of all of the above. Look, ultimately, Australia, there was probably more riding on it for them. You know, they didn't want to be whitewashed. I think, in fairness to Australia, you put it in context from where they were at the end of a World Cup in 2023 to where they are now. You know, they're a completely different side. And they dominated. They probably played the conditions a lot better. They dominated a lot, large parts of it. And
Sorry, I've been talking to you.
And look, ultimately, it's a pity that the Lions didn't clean sweep, but I think with that 2-1 series win, you know, it's still a brilliant thing to do to come down here and win.
Welcome along, Owen Farrell. A tour that started with Owen Farrell in the Sky Studios, ends with Owen Farrell in the Sky Studios, wearing something slightly different. I'm not sure if you remember, we began in Dublin by saying three tours or four, and here you are as the first professional player to win two tours. Just give us a little bit of your personal feelings and emotions off the back of what has been not just rollercoaster 3-4 weeks, but actually 3 or 4 months.
No, it's just, I mean, the main thing that I can say is that since I've been out here, and not that I didn't with Sky, I've loved it.
We loved it, didn't you? Short and sweet it was.
I've loved it. This group's been unbelievable. The feeling that these boys created before, well, before I'd arrived, you know, it helped me come to this team and slot in easily, and felt like I've been here all along. So credit to what they've been doing and obviously what we've achieved off the back of it.
I remember talking to you off the back of the World Cup and you said, I just really want to enjoy my rugby again. And there have only been little snippets that have come out of this Lions camp, but at almost every point you've been having a smile on your face. We've seen you in bed with Jamie George, we saw you laughing even during the rain break, etc. What is it that has enabled you just to relax and really make the most of this stage of your career?
I don't know, I'm just earning to. I think the group has helped that massively. Coming into this environment and being around people that want the best for each other, and the teammates that we've had, and obviously, as I said, the atmosphere that's been created. We've obviously done pretty well along the way as well.
We were hearing already there's a reunion plan for 12 years' time. That obviously tells you just how special this group is. Yeah. Give us a little sense of the guys who've driven the energy and who's going to be social secretary in 12 years' time.
Tag Furlong would be, I'd say he's driving it. He's at the front of the bus every day. He's leading the boys on. He's determined to get us back together in 12 years. So I think we're going to put money in the pot every month and see what we come up with.
That's brilliant here. Just a quick word on the old man as well. How proud is he of this group and how special a moment for the Farrell family as a whole?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you don't really have time to sit and sit back and think until now. So, you know, it's been a great tour, and so obviously today is disappointing, and the game didn't go our way, and we didn't play the best rugby that we've played all tour, which we wanted to. But you can't take away from everything that we've done over the past however long we've been here.
Are you heading to the beach? Are you heading straight home? You've got a bit of work to do before the new season begins and back in Sarri's colours.
Yeah, I've already had a bit of time off, so I'm back in a bit quicker than everybody else, I think. So I'll try and enjoy that first.
Brilliant. It's so good to see you with a smile on your face. I mean, congratulations on the series win. Well done to you. Australia this evening, and deservedly so, who have taken the spoils. And let's hear from their skipper, Harry Wilson, with Ellie.
There's a big old smile on your face. Tell us how you're feeling.
Yeah, obviously it's crazy what can happen in the week, the post-conference last week, but I'm just so proud of the team. It was a tough week for us. We were hurting, but to come out here, performance like that in front of 83,000 people, something to be proud of.
You said you were hurting. Joe has spoken as well about it being gut-wrenching, but you must be incredibly proud of this group for coming back with such fight. We know you've spoken about the pride for you in wearing that jersey. So what does that mean here tonight?
Oh, it means so much to us. When you have 83,000 people here supporting us, you've got no reason not to come out here and put a lot of pride in the jersey and do everything you can to win. And for us, it's a great bit of momentum going into Rugby Championship, going over to South Africa in 2 weeks, which is it's going to be a heck of a challenge. So it's great to get that bit of belief before going over there.
Just finally, a word on your mate Nick White, who put in some performance here tonight as he says goodbye to wearing that very special jersey of yours.
I'm so happy that he got to finish his test career like that. He's so important to our group. He does everything. He's the man who keeps everyone accountable. He's the man who loves a beer. He's just a great teammate, and we all love him. And I think the competitor in him came out tonight, and we're just so happy we won for him.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yes, the presentations of Player of the Series. And congratulations to you, Finn Russell, because that is some achievement.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. I think it's just amazing to have that achievement, but I think as a team it's a bit disappointing how today went, you know. But you know, that's sport, we won the series, and that's the main thing. So it's an amazing achievement for me personally, but you know, you can't do the things like this without the boys around you and the coaches and management there. So yeah, it's a special tour.
Tell us a bit about the tour, because obviously you've worn this shirt before in varying circumstances, but you look to be playing your best rugby and really enjoying yourself out there.
Yeah, I think I love it. I mean, it's not ideal in the weather today, but I've loved this tour. I've loved getting to know the boys that I didn't know before, getting to know the coaches, playing a different style. It's an amazing tour, I think, when you have the Four Nations coming together and being able to travel around this time rather than being stuck in individual hotels. It's been amazing to see the country a little bit and to get to know the guys on the pitch and off. It's been amazing.
Not the fairy tale ending, but a series win is still some achievement, and tonight just showing us all again how tough it is to get a Lions win.
Yeah, definitely. I think last week it could have gone either way, obviously. And tonight, I think Aussie they were brilliant tonight. I think there's things that we will look back at and maybe chances missed or where we maybe played the game. It's the last game, so you can't really work on it. This group of players will never be together again, but unfortunately, it's not the fairy tale ending.
Do you feel like you're playing the best rugby of your life? Are you enjoying it more than ever?
Yeah, I'm loving it. I've always loved playing rugby. There's obviously tough times that go along with that if you play as long as I've been playing for. But, I'm loving it. I think the stage of my career that I'm at is great. I think I've got a lot of experience from playing different clubs, different coaches, different players, as well as still being sort of fit enough to do it. I'm not old enough yet to be sort of that slow out there. So, but no, I think I'm playing some good rugby, but again, it's down to the guys around me as well. It's not just me out there. It's a full team and the coaches.
I think there's a few more miles left in the tank yet. Finn, just finally, tell us how special this is for you and your family, because I know you've got your two young daughters here as well to watch.
Yeah, actually, everyone's out here. My partner Emma, my two daughters, my mum, dad, two brothers, sister are all here, two best mates from back home. So everyone's out, which is amazing. So, I think when you're in the thick of it, you don't really appreciate what the families go through, what your mum or partner goes through with the kids. So now it'd be nice to enjoy. I've got a couple of days here in Sydney, so it'd be nice to enjoy a couple of days in Sydney with them and switch off from rugby a little bit, hopefully. So we'll enjoy tonight and then I'll switch off the next couple of days.
That's enough from me then. We're going to bring in David Howden now, who's going to present you with this. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Finn, congratulations. Fantastic. Fair the series. Always smiling as well, which is really nice, actually.
Oh, you've got the smile.
Even when you do a knock-on, which is,
Oh, that's because Skelton got me, but...
Yeah. I think that's... He's a big boy, yeah. Isn't he? Let's be honest. So, yeah.
I think that everyone plays their best rugby when they're smiling. When they're happy, that's the main thing. So, you very rarely see me without a smile on my face, apart from when we lose a game. So.
Fantastic. Great to watch you in the series. Great fun. Being half Scots, half Welsh, always fantastic,
Thank you.
Howden was the first win.
That's it, I know. Yeah. Good series wins for you.
I know, brilliant. Well,
thank you.
Congratulations.
Well, David Howden alongside Finn Russell, obviously a huge amount of investment into the Lions from the man on the left and a huge amount of reward for the Lions from the man on the right. And congratulations to Finn Russell, who is the Howden Lions player of the series.
Well, Joe, congratulations. What a match and what an evening. How are you feeling? Give us your thoughts on the win here tonight.
I'm just relieved. I'm incredibly proud. I think we worked really hard to get that 8-0 lead. And then coming off for Lightning, it could have destabilised things. And, to stay in the game, defend pretty well. We got a bit lucky. No better man than Max Jorgensen to get a loose ball to get away with the speed he has. And then, the way we stayed in the game, I thought was testament to the players' character, really, because it wasn't pretty. It wasn't necessarily the strategy that was anything different. It was really just a bit of that character.
I mean, it must be incredibly hard to have any strategy with that rain coming in, the lightning. You couldn't have made it up. But you mentioned the character. To come back from that loss last week, you must feel so proud, because you said it was a really, really difficult start to the week.
Yeah, it was a difficult week right through. We lost a couple of guys at training on Thursday I just admire the way the players came through. Alan Alalatoa, he hurt his shoulder in the 14th minute last week and played the whole first half, and he was the ideal man to talk to them a little bit about what it was going to take, and they managed to do enough to get that done.
You've talked a lot about the growth, the development of this team. I know when a team's kind of growing like that, there often are hard times, but how much progress do you think you've seen? Because you're clearly building momentum.
Yeah, it's hard to judge it on a night like tonight. But we actually, in the first half, we played a little bit, albeit in that pouring rain. We almost created a couple of half chances. There was one down the short side that we almost got to weigh on. I was delighted with the endeavour they showed despite the conditions in that first half, and then in the second half, just the character.
A word on Nick White. I know when you named him, you said there's nothing sentimental about it, but what a performance from him on his last night in an Australia shirt.
Yeah, I'd be pretty sentimental about the little fella now. He did really well, and I looked so stupid in that moustache. That was for Whitey, because I don't really want to look that stupid again.
And on to South Africa. I mean, blimey, it doesn't get any easier, does it?
No, it gets really tough. So next Friday we get together and head to South Africa. But I think they've earned the right to really enjoy this evening. And as disappointed as they're not going up on the podium, I think they know that they weren't far away.
Hey, look, it's been a brilliant few weeks here in Australia. Thank you for having us and enjoy the win tonight.
Thanks for looking after us.
Let's hear from Ollie Chesson with Will.
Ollie, thanks for joining us. It's been a strange season for you with injury.
Yeah.
And yet you find yourself stood here at their Olympic Stadium, a Lions winner. It must feel pretty special, but with some bumps along the way.
Yeah, I can't quite believe it. If you'd have said this had happened sort of October time before that autumn series, I'd have laughed in your face a little bit. But I've just, yeah, this is stuff for dreams, really. Obviously, we'd have liked to have won today and closed the series out 3-0. But this group of boys is special. You come into this group and you've got perceptions of people. You don't know what everyone's going to be like. It's been the best rugby experience of my life, really. And, yeah, the memories I'll cherish forever. So.
Best, lovely, the best. So take us into the change. Give it, who makes you laugh? Who gets you out of bed to train hard? Who are the leaders?
There's all sorts of people. Like, you know, you've got your leaders like Maro, and you've got your lads, all sorts of boys. Andrew Porter, I've got real close with. Jack Morgan from Wales. All the Irish boys. Ty Byrne. Everyone, mate. I couldn't really single anyone out. It's just there's a real tiny group, and I think that's probably what's got us over the line in the end, because, you know, it's not pretty rugby on a day like today, and I know we lost today, but again, even in the last couple of games, we probably felt like we haven't played our best stuff, but you've seen the stuff that's been out in the media, like the stuff behind the scenes, mate. The way that the Faz and the coaches have set the group up, it's just been unbelievable, and yeah, the group's been outstanding.
Yeah, I've actually asked all the questions about the players, and you're right to talk about Andy Farrell. Just talk about him as a coach, as a human, how he's treated you, how he's got the best out of you.
He's an unbelievable coach, and you know, an unbelievable person as well. You know, it's no surprise that, you know, how he's got here, and, you know, why that Irish team are doing so well. It's just his attention to detail, but the way he's understood the group and what the group's needed. You know, it's a challenge to play this many games in the amount of time we have, and to keep everyone fresh. Like, you know, largely everyone's got through, and to come and win a series, you know what it's like. Yeah. It's not easy. So, you know, Faz is unbelievable. Credit to him. Credit to all the coaches and the group.
That's it from the rugby, and that's it for the first half here on the Big Red Bench. But stay with us. Plenty more to come in the second.
FM. The Big Red Bench. Cork's Good Times. Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 20 minutes or so. The latest from Turner's Cross is Cork City nil to Shelburne's one goal. Hopefully fortunes can change there, as fortunes did change for Cork City's men's team last night when they won their first league game since April. Yes, April last night against Galway in the same venue. And here is a very relieved City boss, Jernash, speaking to our very own Roy O'Hagan for LOI TV after the game.
Just how big a result is that for you?
Huge. We needed it. I needed it. The staff needed it. The dressing room needed it. I think the club needed it. So it was huge. Look, credit to the fans, were amazing with us tonight. Absolutely fantastic. We're so grateful for them, for sticking with us. It's been a tough time. They're absolutely brilliant in the stadium. The players were immense, absolutely immense. So we're really proud of them.
And a fantastic goal as well from Josh.
Fantastic, yeah. Josh is everything we want to do here. He's a young kid from Toker, who's desperate to play for this club. He's playing different positions, he'll do everything he can. He's tough, and he added that bit of quality, which is what we've been working on with him, and it's a fantastic strike and a goal that deserved to win a game.
Great performance last week despite the result, another one tonight. What's changed? What's resulted in this uptick in performances?
I think, regarding tonight, you know, with the ball, we didn't actually play as well as anywhere near as well as we have in other games that have been here. But I think tonight was about who we are as people and responding to what's happened in some of the recent games and showing everybody what we're about, because we are together. And I've been saying that, and I've got a group in that dressing room who are absolutely desperate to represent this club and fight for this club. A lot of kids, a lot of young players, and for them to stand up to what came in the second half tonight against a huge team, a team of men. It was incredible. You know, young goalkeeper, some young players in that team. It was incredible. So, look, I'm just so proud of the players, I really am.
Yeah, I don't want to name individuals, but so many great performances tonight. Fitzpatrick, obviously, Conor Brann, Evan McLaughlin, they're all great.
Yeah, look, Conor Brann's played his third or fourth game in football, you know. So he was immense. The left-hand side of the pitch, Matty Kiernan, just turned 19 last week. Yeah, look, like, I don't think you can single people out. Shawnee up top. You know, Shawnee didn't get a lot of the ball. When he did, he was immense in what he did. And up against, you know, really big centre-halves against against them. So, look, you can go through the whole team. Everyone played their part. Fiacre came off and Freddie Anderson came on and played his part. So, but look, we need to do this again. We need to replicate it. But I can't speak highly enough of that group in the dressing room, how much they want to be here, the staff, how much we want to be here and how much we want to make this happen for us. And tonight was a badly needed win. We need more. We know that. But look, when I came to the club, clean sheets are going to be important, and we're starting to see a bit more of that from us, I think.
Not ideal, obviously, losing your captain. What's the issue? Is an ankle injury? Or?
Yeah, it is. So we'll have to get it scanned. And it's a shame, really, because Charlie Lyons also has a little issue as well, which obviously with his suspension, we used that opportunity to sort of for him to have some rehab on that and get him right. So we'll have a look at all the lads tomorrow morning, and we'll be back in Bishopstown, and we'll count and see how many of them have got their knocks and stuff. But look, we can't wait to go in. We can't get the goal. There's a great spirit in the group, because I'll tell you now, this group will fight for this club.
What's your reaction now when the referee's assistant puts 7 minutes up on the board at the end?
I probably can't comment on that.
You're 8 points behind Sligo Rovers now. There's still a lot of work to do, obviously, but you feel you can catch them. And
we need to go to work tomorrow, we need to work next week, we need to go to Derry and work. That's what we need to do. That's what our focus is. That's what our focus has been right throughout this, is we work every day to get better. And I've got a group, like I said, and this is the most important thing in any football team, that a group are together, and there's some real unity in that group, and we've got people who are fighting for this club, I can promise you that.
And for you personally, Ger, you were passionately reacting at the end of the day, the full time whistle there. What does this mean to you?
Look, it means a lot to me, of course, but I'm more proud of the players. I see them work. I know how they work. I know how much they care. And it's been a really tough spell since we came to the club. The staff have got brilliant staff. It's been a tough spell since we came to the club. And look, you know, we've had games where we've played better and lost. It's a fact. So I'm just proud of the players. I'm pleased for everyone.
Thanks, Ger. Well done tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, George speaking to Rory O'Hagan there after that one. I was speaking about Cork City women's team, their fortunes changing. Things went from bad to worse. They're now 2 goals down in Turner's Cross against Shelburne in their women's Premier Division clash. Something that caught my eye earlier, speaking of Cork City managers, Tim Clancy, former City manager, wasn't off the ball earlier today, and he spoke interestingly that he was expected to live with players in his time here. Bit of a strange one, I thought, but here he is in conversation with Johnny Ward and Graham Gartland.
I lived down there with Jamie Hammond last year. I spent most of the week down there, 4 or 5 days a week down in Cork, and then this season it changed a little bit. The house prices and everything else meant that I had to share a house with 2 other people.
Which is a bit mad as a married man and all that.
Look, the reality is I couldn't bring my family down for the weekend. I've 4 kids and a wife and they've nowhere to stay, so I have to go up and down the road all the time. Look, it's good to hear that Jaron Ashton now is living in a 3-bed house on his own, which is what a manager should be doing. He shouldn't be sharing a house with staff and players. So I was commuting for the last maybe 3-4 months every day, 3 hours down and 3 hours back. I'd stay down.
It's a flight to New York, basically.
I'd stay down a couple of nights, maybe a week, but the majority of the time I was commuting. Look, it doesn't dilute your work. You're not doing any less. But it just doesn't make it as easy as it could be. And that's the way it was. Like, it was difficult. When we Hamo left, it was hard to get an assistant manager in. And then, again, at that stage, the Naira Daniels came in, and I was asked for another player to move into the house, and I just said, I'm not doing it. I'm not living in the house. I spoke to Aina Buckley at the club as well, and he was like, no, look, we'll just get over the hurdle of getting the player in first, and then we'll sort it out. But you can't be living in the house with players when you're the manager.
They're never away from you. Mm-hmm. They can't have their freedom. You're sitting having breakfast and he's looking at what you're eating for breakfast, you know, and you have, like, that's just absolute bonkers to me. Because, like, then you're like, what time are you going to bed at? Like, it's like having... is living with a parent who also decides if you play on a Friday.
Bit of a strange one. Well, look, we're looking ahead now, and here's Cork manager Ger Manley speaking to Ger McCarthy ahead of their All Ireland Senior Camogie final against Galway on Sunday, August the 10th. So next Sunday, we'll go up to Croke Park and support the girls in the Camogie final if you can. We're looking to get over the hurling, so hopefully we'll have one All Ireland in the bag.
Deja vu, yeah. Another All-Ireland final. It's Galway. Before we talk about your team, you had a good look at Galway getting over Tipperary in the semi-final. You faced Colin Murray enough times before. You know what's coming. yeah. or a good idea. Does that help focus your minds in the backroom team and players?
Totally. God, we're a very physical team, and look, I suppose there hasn't been much between us in the few matches we played the last couple of years. I suppose we got the better of them the last couple of times, but it does focus the minds. Physically, I thought they were very physical against Tipperary the last and probably the harder, like some of the fouls, I suppose. But look, we're expecting a hard physical battle. The refs are leaving it going out as well to a certain amount to come over, which is good. It only leaves the game flowing a bit, but look, we know what to expect from Galway at the time between us.
There will be none in between. That full back line really stood out for me the last night. All the usual suspects up front got the scores, but they held Tip to 1-3 from open play.
Yeah, Higgins, and she's a fabulous player. Roisin Black is back after she was injured and travelling, I think. And Shauna Healy's back as well, yeah. So we know what's ahead of us. They haven't changed much down through the years, Galway. Helbert is back, centre-back. And Marie Starr's there. Helbert came on. Kerry Hickey's a very good player. Yeah. We're not desperate, but I would think we've better forwards than Tip as well. So the same look is that plus side for us, you know. I think for forwards at farm and to not get the opportunities, we'd be hard, you know.
You've said all year to us on the Big Red Bench and in the press that we need a full 60 minute consistent yeah. performance. Last year, when you got to the semi finals, with respect to Dublin, it was over pretty early. Yeah. You got the game you might have been looking for against Waterford.
Totally agree. We played a few matches in the break we had. We took a week off after the last league game, the championship. But we did train them hard in for 3 weeks. And look, the first 20 minutes Waterford set out, they played two sweepers. Like, they were playing with the wind. So it was hard. The wind was very strong, actually. We didn't realise it. Look, and our conversion rate wasn't super in the first half. But I think in the last 10 or 12 minutes of the first half, we took over. And look, we scored them 116 to 5 points for the last 40 minutes, which was impressive, I thought. And all through, give Waterford their credit, they kept working hard. So we needed that. And look, I thought we finished the game well, which is important. And look, we were comfortable winners in the end.
Is it significant that we talked about the 4-week gap to that semi-final, but there's less of a gap now, so it's easier to control?
Oh, totally. Look, we have a few niggly injuries there now. Claudia Finger injured there the Thursday before the training, so hopefully she'll do something next week, get her back into it. And the rest of them got a bit of game time. That was Katrina's first match in a bit. Cleaney Healy's back in the mix as well, so look, it's coming together at the right time.
Do you look back to last year's final?
You have to look back, and like that's where you see the big games. You see where people show their farm, you show look the way they move. Galway will throw a few curveballs at us, they did last year. I think hopefully we're a bit more experienced this year. The girls actually are very good to cope with stuff themselves. I suppose we give them all the mechanisms when they play the match that they can react, because at times you can't get your message in. No, you can't get into the field. You think it's better with the hurling. Like, if you're going to across the line to Camogie, you're fined, and it's gone that way. So the girls, we try to get in as much information as we can to them. But look, it is like last year, let's go to the league final. I suppose we dominated them fairly mostly through that game. They hammered us in the league before that. Last year we played in the championship as well twice. We played them previous year, which I thought was a turning for us, above in Nolan Park. I remember semi-final, it's probably one of the best performances Cork Camogie had in a long, long time. I think that put the monkey off their back, really. We know what we have to do to beat them, and it's going to be a savage battle.
You started not as well as you would have wanted last year. That's what I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
You have to start well against them this year.
Oh, totally. We didn't start well either last Sunday, I suppose, but you have to start well. Last year it was 9-8 to them at half time, or 10-9, and then we got a brilliant third quarter, and I think that kept us ahead. Look, there's going to be times in this game that we'll have to keep the scoreboard ticking over. That's our big team. That if you get an opportunity, don't panic, and just look. It's a cliche, I know, keeping ticking over, but it does make a difference, because there's times they're going to dominate next Sunday. So we're just hoping that we will perform. And look, I always say this, I think we're only operating 60-70% this team. I think they're such a talented team, you know, and the girls are exceptional.
We just got to Camogie 2 hurling for one moment, and finished that full time in the clash between Erin's Own and Glen Rovers. Glen Rovers winning out 122-115 in their co-op Superstars Premier Senior Hurling Championship opener. Back to the Camogie, and here's Cork forward Amy O'Connor speaking to Jar ahead of the Camogie final.
Amy O'Connor, another build up to another All-Ireland final. You've been there and done that with the Cork Inter-County team through a glittering career. Does it get easier as time has gone on, or do you just take it as a brand new final, all brand new again?
I suppose it does get a little bit easier, because you kind of know the ins and outs, you know nights like this happen, you know what you need on the day and what you might need beforehand and so on. So yeah, it probably does get a little bit easier, and you probably think about it a bit less than before, just because you'd be a bit more used to it. But it's as exciting as ever, so we're really looking forward to it.
Do you get butterflies in the pitch beforehand? Are you very kind of, do you have a set routine that you stick to, or is it always that bit more nervous now learning final day?
Yeah, I have a set routine. I think everyone in our group would have a set routine at this point. But yeah, of course you do. Like, you get nervous. You care so much about it. You put so much of your life into it. So it'd be only normal to get a little bit nervous, a little bit excited.
The run of finals that you've qualified for, the ones that you've won and the ones that you've lost, is down to work rate. It's down to, I think, the togetherness of the panel and new players that have come in and gelled. There's a few of you that have been there for a while, with the greatest respect, including yourself. What is it about the group? Is it Germanley and the management team and the way they keep you all together? But there does seem to be a genuine bond and a gel between you.
Yeah, there's a really good bond there. And I think the biggest thing about us is we've a good spread of players. You know, there's a number of girls that would be over 30. There's a number of us in the middle, kind of mid to late 20s. And then you have the younger girls as well. So we've a really good group. And I think Cork Camogie have done a really good job at maybe getting one or two minors every year into the panel and getting them a bit more experience. So yeah, I think it's that, having that spread of players, but also the bond within the group as well.
And even more importantly, you see Orla Mullins coming off the bench the last day. She's just one example of a player that came in, made her statement, puts another idea maybe in Germany's mind, we don't know. So you got to be on your toes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the competition in the panel is huge. And I think that's why we've been so fortunate to be part of so many All-Ireland finals as well, is because of that competition within the panel. You know, every line, you can't call the team because there's so many people putting their hands up. And Orla was a great example of that last week. And it's brilliant to know if Orla starts, we have that. And if she comes off the bench, she's given us that opportunity as well.
Galway, Colin Murray, you know all the players. I'm not going to go down through it. That full back line really showed up against Tipperary in the semi-final as well, and they had to. You've been through this before, you've played them before, you know the physicality and the talent that they've got. When you know the opponent a little bit more, does that make it any more difficult, or are you just focusing on your own game?
I think you have to focus on your own game. We know Galway so well. I don't know how many All-Ireland finals we've played them in. We tend to come up against them a couple of times every year, played them in the league final this year. We know them extremely well and they know us extremely well. So I think both teams will have their hand there, it cut out for them on the day. And you know, we'll just focus on ourselves. And as you said, like, Galway are an unbelievably physical team. It's what they've always been. I imagine it's what they'll always be. They're really, really physical. You know, I imagine they put a lot of emphasis on strength and conditioning, you know, because of that physicality that they bring to the game, and we just have to match that on the day.
And up to most of the season, you have done that. I mean, the strength and conditioning, how you came through the National League, Munster, and certainly in the All-Ireland Series, winning all your matches. There's been a level of performance, and Germanley always talks about that, the full 60. I know you're probably sick of hearing, but he's right, because you're going to have to do that and more. Last year shows you exactly the efforts that you had to go to get over this Galway team. Is that in your minds coming into it, or does it help focus the minds that you know you're going to have to do the full 60?
Yeah, I think it helps focus the mind. And I think as well, it's important to remember, like, you have to give your all for however long you can. And if that means you can only give 40 minutes and you're called a short, and someone like Orla Mullins is coming on, or you know, someone else on the bench is coming on to do a job for you, then you have to be okay with that. And I think that's what we'll do. Anyone that ends up starting on today, whoever it might be, they'll end up giving their all for as long as they can, and when it's time to be called ashore because they've given everything, then we'll do that.
2 years ago, you had one of the greatest individual performances of any player, and I know you hate being praised in Croke Park, but you did against Waterford. Everything went right for you that day, but everything went right for you because you had worked so hard and you were flying it. I know replicating that is incredibly difficult, but you just want to put in a performance and give your best on the All-Ireland final against Galway again.
Of course you do, and some days, you know, it happens to you, and other days it doesn't. I'm a firm believer, though, you'll always be rewarded for the work that you put in, and I think our panel has put in a massive shift this year and, you know, put in massive work, so hopefully we'll be rewarded on the day.
What is the buzz in the group like, you know, leading into a big match? I know what it's like afterwards, just following your social media accounts.
Not my social media.
Now you're, to be fair, yeah, you have me there. But in fairness, there's such a nice bond between the team. But going up to Croke Park, you've done this often enough. How do, like, I presume there's talkers and there's motivators and then there's ones that want to stay quiet. Is that the way that, has that changed with all the new players that have come in?
No, there's still a huge mix. You have the crew down the back of the bus, you have the crew up the front of the bus, you have the talkers, you have the younger girls who are probably not, you know, thinking about it or going into as much depth, just because that's how they like to relax before games. And it hasn't changed much, and people will just stick to what they've always done, stick to their routine. Just because it's an All-Ireland final, I don't think things will change for people. We'll all have our own seats on the bus and so on. So yeah, really looking forward to it now.
Where do you sit in the bus?
I sit at the front of the
Sorcha. I don't think you do, actually. Yeah, okay, we'll leave it off on that one. Listen, Amy, all the best from everybody in the Big Red Bench. We're delighted to see you back in another All-Ireland final, you specifically as well, going as strong as ever. All the best.
Thanks, manager. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and huge thanks to Ger McCarthy, as always, for going and getting those interviews. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off, but fear not, Marta Guilfoyle is on the way next.